discussion and possible action on Texas County and District Retirement System Plan Provisions by Monica Lopes.
Okay, I'm going to introduce our account representative, Ralph Wallace. He is going to walk you through the pieces of the TCDRS plan, so the committee has a good understanding of what plan we are currently on. I'm going to pass out. The books are actually the overall general overview of their plan. What I'm passing out is specific to our plan. And Ralph will go through his presentation, and then I'll have a resolution at the end.
It was a disparity. Who was getting the benefits?
We need to do this. I'm going to stand down here where everyone can see me, and I can see everyone else.
What is your name again?
Ralph Wallace.
Ralph?
Yeah, and I am what y'all would call an employer services representative for the Texas County and District Retirement System. I just call it TCDRS for short. It's a mouthful. And the majority of my job is to not only travel the state speaking to county commissioners, courts, and governing bodies of districts and authorities about how the plan works, but as Monica mentioned a while ago, last year the authority underwent a huge campaign to make sure that employees up and down Brazos River territory understood how this plan works, and I pretty much followed her all the way from Possum Kingdom down. But today, and I also realized that, Monica, you had told me that most of the members of this committee are new. I do recognize some of your faces from doing the employee meetings, and John, I recognize you. So what I want to do is not only provide information on how the plan is funded every year on the employer side of the ball, but also just give the new members of the committee some general background of the retirement system as well. Next slide, please. The system was created back in 67 by the Texas legislature. It is governed by state and federal pension laws, and we have our own board of trustees, 9-member board. These folks are appointed by the governor and are confirmed by the Texas Senate. And the kind of folks that reside on our board are folks such as county commissioners, county judges. You'll see representatives from the districts and authorities sit on this board as well. And what I want to point out is not only do these folks make decisions that affect the retirement system as a whole, but since they all have their own individual account in this system, my guess is always that they're going to do their best to make the best decisions they can for the system. Okay. As far as the administration of Brazos River Authority's employees, their accounts, it's done both centrally and locally. By central, I'm talking about my office down in Austin. They can contact member services down there if they ever have questions on their account. You also have the local administration. Of course, that would be through Monica's office. I know I deal with Monica in Virginia quite often in that area. Next slide, please. As far as the size of this retirement system, you're looking at all but 2 counties in it. The remainder made up of districts and authorities like Brazos River. And when you add them all up, you're looking at 580 independent plans. And y'all, I basically want to emphasize the word independent. The reason I say that is because you may know some folks that work for a county, for example, that's in this system, or another district, for example. And if you go to compare the options and benefits that the employees are getting here right now, or the benefit levels that the committee and the board last year had chosen, they're not going to be exactly the same. Okay. The reason I say that is each governing body chooses from a relatively wide range of employment levels. Next slide, please. Now, speaking of the authority coming in, last year, it was actually October 1st of 2007 when Brazos River Authority began participation in TCDRS. And your committee, your board last year, after speaking with who is now our Director of Employer Services, Howard Miller, basically ironed out a game plan of benefits to provide employees when that day does come and they end up retiring. And the way this pension is set up, it's an advanced funded plan. Back in October of 2007, as an authority, you began sending in contributions to fund this thing in advance while your employees are still working, so that those benefits will be there for them when they do retire down the road. And as it says at the bottom of the slide up there, of course, the better the benefits you promise your folks, the more you have to contribute to save for them down the road. Next slide, please. While all this is going on, different things are going to happen, as this committee probably knows. Employees are going to make benefit decisions, and I'll explain to you in more detail in a moment what I mean by that. The economy, of course, is going to grow stronger or weaker. Of course, we know how the economy is doing this year, don't we? And not only future boards, but current boards and committees here at the authority could decide to raise or lower certain benefits. And basically, this goes in to what we look at every year when it comes to what you're saving for your folks. And what we do is we take a look at this stuff, and we come up with something called, what's called a required contribution rate. And what all that is, it's a percentage of the authority's budgeted payroll required to send in each month to fund the benefits. And it's commonly referred to as a requirement rate. And the reason why that thing can change every year is because we look at how things happened every year. Next slide, please. And basically, this is how the funding process works for the committee. We take a look at what's expected to happen in a given year, then we take a look at what actually did, and we come up with that contribution rate. Next slide, please. And it's been discussed earlier this morning, but by what is expected to happen, I'm talking about actuarial assumptions. Next, please. Now, these assumptions, and before we go any further on this, we're talking about actuaries earlier. TCDRS, we partner with one of the most respected pension actuaries in the country, and it's Milliman and Associates out of San Francisco, California. And basically, the way we have things set up right now, we're using this actuary to help us with determining cost to each county and district. Now, some of these assumptions that our actuary comes up with are system-wide, spread out over the whole 200 or 580 plans in the system. There are some that are based on the last 4 years of plan experience. If Brazos River had been in this thing 4 years to now, we'd be looking at the last 4 years. Obviously, we've only got 2 months of 2007 to look at for 2009 rates. One thing I do want to emphasize is this is always a year behind. What's happening this year with the economy, for example, that affects 2010. Okay. We also, every 4 years, we do what is called an experience study to just make sure we're keeping up with trends out there. The last study we did came up with two important findings, and one of them you probably are not surprised to hear, and that is folks are living longer. Another thing that we discovered that may have been a surprise is that a lot more folks they're liking the security of their jobs in the public sector, and they're sticking with them a little longer. So we want to run these experience studies every 4 years just to make sure we're keeping up on things. Next slide, please. Now, the major assumptions we look at every year, first is expected employee withdrawals. You know, once again, don't have a big track record yet on Brazos River Authority, but we'll get one. And what I mean by that is, based on past plan experience, it's expected that every year when some of your folks leave their job at the authority, some of them are going to pull the money they've been putting into this thing out of their paycheck and take it with them. Some are going to leave it in. Now, obviously, if they take it with them, they forfeit that right to have gotten that money matched by the money that the authority's putting into this thing. And that can be a positive when it comes to the cost, obviously, and vice versa. Also, based on past plan experience, payroll is expected to grow by a certain percentage every year. That gets looked at when determining cost as well. Let's talk about this return on investments. Now, you heard a lot of it this morning. Based on the way the assets are currently allocated at the retirement system, our actuary tells us to expect to get, and John, you alluded to this a while ago, expect to get about 8% return. You're in the ballpark on that 7.5 a while ago, about 8% return every year. Now, being that this is a defined benefit plan, you know, part of this is, part of the definition that goes into this, as most of y'all probably know, is that the employer bears the best investment risk, not the employees of the authority. So let's say we get right on the money one year, 8% return. Employees get 7% on the 6% that they're putting in and out of their paycheck every year. The employer, or the authority, would get allocated 9%. You got 8% in the middle on that deal, okay? Let's talk about what happens, though, in a good year versus a bad year. Now, I want to talk about a bad year. Lord knows we're having one this year. Being that this plan is highly diversified, and it was, the diversification started back in 96, just to be able to absorb bumps in the road, but this committee knows there's more than, this is more than just a bump in the road this year. But it is highly diversified. Two things we have in place to help help offset a year like we're having this year is, and some of y'all might be familiar with it, I know you are, where there's a something called smoothing, 10-year smoothing, where in a bad year, to absorb some of the impact on the rate to the employer, the impact is spread out over a 10-year period. We use a 10-year smoothing. Now, that's, there's two sides to that coin, though. When we have a good year, that's smoothed out over 10 years as well. Another thing we do, let's say we do better than 8% in a year. Now, in a situation like that, our board votes to do one of two things. They either go ahead and allocate that additional interest above and beyond that 9% to each employer, or they decide to go ahead and put that those extra earnings into a reserve fund, which is what they normally do for rainy day years. Right now, that fund is sitting at about $2.4 billion, and that's there to help offset a year like we're having this year. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, okay. Since 67, when this system was created, the total fund, and one thing I want the committee to keep in mind, this is a multi-employer fund. You know, even though we administer the plan for each county and district, each plan is the sponsor for the plan. But since 67, the amount of money that's gone in from employee and employer contributions and investment returns has built up to about $16 billion. And 80% of that's coming from investments, so you see how important investments are in this situation. Okay. The last two major assumptions, so many folks are expected to retire given past experience, and we also take a look at the life expectancies of not only current employees at the authority, but also retirees. Next slide, please. Now you'll notice this is, I kind of refer to this slide as the what actually did happen slide in a given year. You'll notice the bullets are all the same, with the exception of an additional bullet down at the bottom, and that's the authority's ability to add or change benefits. And usually when you have a county or a district or an authority that's in this retirement system, and they've been in it for a long time, and they've got a track record, we know how the funding's been working with them over the years, usually the one thing that offsets that rate for them the most or has the most impact is that last bullet, and that's their ability to add or increase benefits. Go ahead, please. Now let's take a look at Brazos River Authority's numbers here. I mentioned this a while ago. Y'all currently have your employees putting in 6% out of their paychecks each month into this pension, and they're earning that 7% interest, that guaranteed interest I talked about. This year, the authority is required to send in 8.09% of budgeted payroll to provide the big retirement benefit that you're promising your folks when they do retire, and that's 200% matching, or $2 for every one of their dollars at retirement. Next, please. Now, next year, that rate's going to go down to 7.97%, and I'll explain to you in a moment why that rate has dropped a little bit. But just to give the committee an idea of how these rates work, that total required rate you see up there is actually two rates broken down into one rate. The first part of that rate being the normal cost rate, second part being, and this is a mouthful, the unfunded actuarial accrued liability rate. I'll just call it the unfunded liability rate. And next slide, please. Now, the normal cost part of that total rate that the authority sends in to us, that's a part of the rate that goes toward paying for, and I emphasize this, the expected cost of an employee's benefits over their career. But of course, as the blue box says, in a world where nothing ever changed, that might be enough to do it. But of course, we know a year like this year, benefits could be changed. That can affect that cost every year. And that's potentially where the unfunded liability rate comes in. Next, please. And that's the part of the rate that goes toward paying for benefits that your folks have earned that have not been funded yet. And some of y'all may have already seen the numbers on this. Back in October, when the authority joined us, we had, or before the authority came in, we had conducted a participation study through our actuary. And let me find the numbers here. But and based on the time that your folks have before you came into the retirement system, because they get credit for that time they worked here to apply toward eligibilities investing. You usually end up starting up behind the ball with a liability in that situation. And that's what this goes toward paying down as well. Does that make sense to the committee? Okay. Go ahead, please. Just to give you all an idea, I know a while ago I told you that your rate for next year is going to be 7.57. If you want to just get an idea of how that compares to other counties and districts and authorities in the system, you know, that would put you in that range of 149 folks up there. Okay. Another thing we can look at is something called a funding ratio, and some of you are probably already familiar with that, but basically the closer to 100% that number is, the closer to fully funding the benefits that your folks have earned to date. Of course, this is an ongoing situation. Now, I don't want that percentage there to actually alarm or scare anybody, because remember, y'all have only been in this thing since October of 2007. You only have 2 months that we looked at for 2009. And just to give you an idea how quickly you put money into this thing, you know, that unfunded amount, and I'm going to cover that here in a little bit, it's a little over $2 million right now for the authority. You've already put in about $450,000 of that, and that was just in the last 2 months of 2007. So that number should increase pretty quick over the next few years, I would think. Go ahead, please. Next. And once again, I wouldn't worry about the 18% since the authority is in its infancy in this retirement system right now, but this just gives the committee an idea of how the different counties and districts are funded across the retirement system. Here's that unfunded liability I talked about a while ago. Like I said, it's sitting at a little over $2 million. And used to be, we amortized that over 20 years. And then last year, it was decided that, you know, this retirement system has been around since 67. It's maturing as a retirement system. More money is going to start coming out of this thing. So we decided in order to shore up funding a little more, we wanted to tighten up that the amortization period to 15 years. So based on that rate that I gave the committee a while ago, that unfunded part of that rate would go to paying down that figure over 15 years. Okay. You can go ahead and go to the next one, please. The last thing I want to talk to the committee about, and it's included in your roadmaps there that were handed out. We have a conference that we put on every summer for the decision makers of each county and district and authority. And we have some national speakers that come to this thing every year. We have some well-respected actuaries, economists that come and speak at this. And I put that in there to just give you all an idea to save the date for next year. And if you do get a chance, we'd love for you to come and attend the conference. Any other questions?
Any questions? Comments? Monica?
Thank you very much. You're quite welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
on the handout that I passed out, this is their assessment of where we stand today based on the 2 months they had to evaluate. It gives you what our plan benefits are, what our plan, like Ralph said, our funding this past year has been 8.09%. It's going down to 7.97% for the 2009 calendar year, and then they'll be back. I'm about one committee meeting late on this. Typically, I'll be bringing this to you in July. So if we wanted to make any changes or anything to the plan benefits, we could do that in July and get that to TCDRS in time. At this time, staff is not proposing any changes, with the exception of the funding rate going to 7.97, as recommended by TCDRS. Are there any questions?
As recommended or required?
As the 7.97, we can change that if we wish. We can add to that if we wish. I don't know if we can make.
Let me add to that because and Monica, I believe you got this email from us last week. As far as how investments will impact the authority's rate in 2010, of course, we're not going to know to the end of this year, and who knows what's going on with the market between now and then. But we are telling counties and districts, especially those that have made benefit changes for 2009, and by the way, you have till December 15th to act on anything for 2009, that they can rescind if they just added a benefit for next year if they're concerned about this. But one thing that the authority can do to pay down that liability I talked about faster, or give yourselves a cushion for negative years like this year, would be to do a higher elected rate than the required rate of that 7.57, or the authority could decide to send in a lump sum contribution to pay down that liability a little faster than that 15 years. So, okay.
And so y'all's recommendation is what?
7.97.
Okay.
One of your questions sounded like it might have been, well, could you contribute less, or what would be the ramifications? You're not actually required to contribute 7.97. What would that mean?
Yeah, now the 7.97, that is the required.
Okay, so yeah, that's the minimum amount.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And at this point, you're telling us, let's do this minimum amount and move forward.
Yes.
Okay.
Any questions, Ben? All right,
I'll read the resolution, and this will need to go to the board for approval, because the retirement committee, as we understand it, doesn't have full jurisdiction over the TCDRS plan. And unless we make a change to that, that's, I believe, where we stand today. Be it hereby resolved that the retirement committee recommends to the board of directors of the Brazos River Authority adoption of the following proposed resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes that the Texas County and District Retirement System, hereafter called TCDRS, plan provisions for the Brazos River Authority non-retirees remain the same for the 2009 plan year. Be it further resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority that the TCDRS plan provisions for Brazos River Authority retirees remain the same for the 2009 plan year. Be it further resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority that the required TCDRS employer contribution rate will be 7.97% for the 2009 plan year.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay, so moved.
I'll second.
Seconded. So if you will call the roll.
Chairman Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Breeden?
Aye.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Collinsworth?
Yes.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheelis?
Yes.
Okay, would you go further? Please, before the subcommittee, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded. So we adjourn at 9:20.